Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's Jake Volnick with you guys from 7 to 11 on Overtime. We have Michael Markoch running the board as well. You heard him on the 2020s doing work behind the glass. Myself, Michael tonight. Who knows? Maybe a slight change of those plans. We don't know. Everything. We're up for everything in the air. But I'll tell you, I walked into a Sunday with, and I told you guys it, right? If you listen to me on Sunday morning from 7 to 10 alongside Nick Patone, I told you guys I didn't like how confident everybody was in this game, but I was still sticking to my guns. I still felt like the Browns had a really good chance to win this one, but I was like 51-49. Well, the score was certainly not 51-49, but it was separated by 1 point. Right, so when I leaned Browns, it ended up leaning the other way, and it could have fallen into the Browns' favor with just a few things, you know, maybe falling on heads instead of tails if you were to flip a coin. But it was one of those days where every Browns fan walks in with the same mentality, right? The memes out there of the guy pointing at himself in the mirror. It's like, I'm not going to let this team dictate my entire mood. It dictated my entire mood on Sunday. I was so angry. And if they had just gone out and got blown out, it would have been like, well, that sucks. But hey, at least I have hours of football still to watch. I have multiple other games that are close and interesting, right? Steelers-Jets was interesting. Buccaneers-Falcons was interesting. There were plenty of good games on. No, you lost in just gut-wrenching fashion, and I sat there in pure anger for the rest of the day, in pure disappointment for the rest of the day, being like, why did I have to live through this? Why did I go through this moment of just convincing myself that the Browns are going to win and then watching them lose and have my kicker, you know, miss a couple of kicks that he definitely 1,000% should have made. And then I have to sit there and live with that and stew in it and be like, and I was the dumb one who thought they could start this season with a win. What on earth was I thinking? And it does boil down to a point of like, you either win or lose the game, right? Like, the Browns lose, I end up disappointed. You can only pull so much away from that, which I thought was a really interesting thing. As I was sitting in yesterday afternoon, I was doing updates for Afternoon Drive, right, for the schedule that we have for football season, which if you have not adapted, well, that probably makes two of us. But it is 7 to 11 Tuesdays and Fridays. We're with you 8 to 11 following the Browns preview show on Wednesdays. And then I have you guys from 7 to 10 in the morning on Browns Sundays. But I was sitting there, and I happened to come across an article that was up on Bleacher Report, written by Brent Sobleski, who we've had on the station. He was on one of the days I was filling in with Nick. He was one of our guests a couple weeks back. And it was the biggest winners and losers from each NFL game. And I was like, oh, this will be interesting. Obviously, I'm expecting the Browns to be on the loser side of this, but I'm interested to see where they go. And I get to the loser portion, and I just didn't agree in the slightest. Because here, Brent writes, loser is any semblance of hope in Cleveland. Sunday's loss to the Bengals is about as Cleveland-like a start to the season as you can get. Browns outgained the Bengals, goes into a couple of the stats, your pair of picks by Joe Flacco, and then ends it off by saying it's going to be a long season for the Browns. Now, I don't doubt that anybody's walking out of this year saying, oh, well, that was a long season and the Browns didn't pull off a ton of wins and it wasn't everything that you could have dreamed and hoped for, right? I'm not arguing that this was just a bad start to what is most likely going to be a disappointing season if you wanted the Browns to make the playoffs or anything else, or you were hoping, trying to hang on to a sliver of hope that the Browns could turn something around this season and just out of thin air look good. I expect the Browns to lose, but when I see any semblance of hope in Cleveland, I almost felt as if this game did the opposite for me, right? Obviously, you want to walk away from a win after you play like that. You want to be able to set that down and go, the defense played amazing, the offense almost played well enough to get you the win, and special teams, well, it needs to be worked on, but that's a game that you should lock down in the win category. And if that is a one-point difference, we're coming in with high hopes, and we have a million good things to say about the way that the Browns played that game. But because it ends in a loss, I get it. The feeling is disappointment. But I feel like this game inspired a hope for the season rather than ripped any semblance of it away. I don't like losing as much as the next person, right? I grew up ultra-competitive. I have taken that into my adult life, both probably good and bad, of being an ultra-competitive person. I constantly want to be the best at everything that I dedicate myself to. I constantly want to be fully invested in everything that I do. And again, it plays to a benefit, it plays to a detriment. I can sit here before you and say, well, in career life right now, I think it's playing to the benefit. I enjoy sitting here talking to you guys every night. You know, in other aspects of my life, when I get a little hyper-focused on things, probably a detriment. Probably it should be able to spread that out and not give 100% to every single thing that I do. But this is a game where I walk away and I go, okay, they lost. I'm angry about it. I'm disappointed. But if I look forward for the Browns, they have almost laid out a recipe for me in how they are going to win games. Right? And the defense played well enough that I look at it and I go, you don't just sit there and win four games when your defense can perform like that. Do I expect them to do that every single game? No, but the Bengals offense is as electrifying as any offense in the NFL. They held the Bengals 17 points. They held Joe Burrow to, you know, under 120 yards. Jamar Chase, 2 catches. T. Higgins, 3 catches. Chase Brown couldn't get anything going on the ground. There were so many positives to take away from that defense. And honestly, I get it. You can't just take Joe Flacco's 2 interceptions and put them to the side. But I looked at the 2 interceptions and I'm like, you pin those on the receivers, but it's even tough for me to pin that entirely on the receivers. Like, how often is it that 2 guys diving to make a catch end up flicking a ball into the air that gets picked off by a defender? It's not an often occurrence. You fell into 2 very unfortunate plays for the Browns on the offensive side and 2 very good plays for the Bengals on the defensive side to walk away with interceptions on those. But the Browns played a great game of football. You can't give away those interceptions. Those balls either need to be caught or batted directly to the ground and they need to fall incomplete. You have things to work on, but I walked away with the utmost hope going, okay, I walk into Baltimore next week. I told you guys, I'm not predicting a win in that game. That's not happening. Baltimore went out and scored 40 on the Bills. And yes, they managed to collapse in the fourth quarter. You're not the Buffalo Bills. Like, you're probably going to lose week 2 against Baltimore. That's going to be perfectly fine. But as I look down the schedule, it's like, okay, even week 2 can be competitive. Like, I think the line opened at like 12.5. I don't know that the Browns go out there and lose by 2 touchdowns. I don't know that they don't. I'm not willing to guarantee you that the Browns are out here covering the spread, but I don't know that they go out there and just get dismantled by the Baltimore Ravens. They showed me that they have a strong defense and an offense that is capable of taking care of the ball. They did not do it in that game, but they are capable of taking care of the ball. Joe cut down on a lot of those head-scratching plays where you go, what was Joe looking at here? Or that's probably not a window I would try to have fit in 40 yards down the field. Joe cut that out of the game completely. There was none of those plays. I did not watch Joe Flacco throw the ball and instantly, you know, clench and just gasp and be like, don't know if I would have done that. And maybe the Browns survive. Every single throw that Joe made, I was like, that's the safe option. That is the open option receiver. And that was the recipe to the game. Keep the ball out of Joe Burrow's hands. I mean, listen, if you come through and guys talk after a win the way that Joe Burrow talked after a win, I would say that is enough reason to feel any sort of hope. Joe Burrow and how he felt after getting the win over the Browns on Sunday.
We'll take it. Anytime you can win like this, you kind of steal one. So we stole one today, and we're going to have to be better.
He openly admits, hey, we stole one today. The offense didn't look good. Defense, well, they were so-so. We stole a game today. Probably didn't deserve it. Guys, like, the Bengals are a projected potential playoff team, right? They won 9 games last year. I get it. We drew all the paths to victory of the defense is bad, and they've stifled the offense before. The Bengals get out to slow starts. We've managed our path to victory. The end result was, you played a potential playoff team, a team that is expected to be much better than you are, and you lost the game by 1 point. The result, even according to Vegas, was that you played above expectation. It was a 5.5-point spread when it closed. The Browns lost by one. You played better than Vegas expected you to play. I don't know where you walk away from this and feel like, Brown season is over. Here we go. You don't get a win in week one. Well, let's look forward to the next 5 weeks and let's just start tallying losses. You're not beating the Packers because they look good against the Lions. The Ravens look good against the Bills. The Vikings completed a comeback last night against the Bears. You're not going to beat them. Steelers beat the Jets. I don't look at almost any of these teams and go, there's no way the Browns win any of these games. Again, Ravens, don't think you're beating them. You're probably starting the season off 0-2. I wasn't that impressed by what the Packers did. It was a good win. Wasn't that impressed. Certainly wasn't impressed with what the Lions did. The Vikings, J.J. McCarthy, came out and looked as slow as could possibly be for a rookie quarterback until he finally woke up. I just don't look at the schedule ahead of you based on what I saw on Sunday from the Browns and go, this season's good for naught. Like, this is not the turn the page, I'm ready to see Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders type of game. That to me is, I've lost all semblance of hope in the Browns season, and there's nothing left to play for. It is turn the page, get me to the rookie quarterbacks, let me see if there's something there in the future. I'm still very much so on the page of, if the Browns are telling me they want to win, Joe Flacco showed me on Sunday they are capable of going out and winning games this year. You might not win a ton of them, but there is a world where you can be competitive. You get through this 6-game stretch, there is a world where you can be competitive. I think this inspired hope for me for the Cleveland Browns. I think they honestly went out there and almost played better than I expected them to play. The defense looked better than I expected, and even though I had high expectations for the defense, still looked better. The offense moved the football, and I thought took care of it very well. Again, the two interceptions killed it, but like, I thought a lot of the decisions made on the offensive end were good. We'll talk about the run game because that was not. But like, there were so many things they did well that I sat there and I was just excited. I was inspired for a Brown season where we're coming off a 3-14. That was not the 3-14 team that I saw last year. If you thought Sunday was bad and it killed all hope, I need you to go back and watch a few games from last year. Take away what it looks like to actually see horrible football. It's not what you saw on Sunday. 216-474-0092. Did the Browns' week one loss kill your hopes for a potential solid season? Again, I'm not telling you they're making the playoffs, but I'm telling you an expectation that you could have had before or a sliver of hope that was still there that the Browns could at least be formidable this year. I don't think it killed any of that hope. You can also get to me on X, at Valding Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake. So we can do our social media reactions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Of course, plenty of good stuff coming up for you guys tonight. We have the Station Buzz coming your way at the end of this hour, where we'll get to the most pressing things said by our station's guests today. We're going to talk to our very own Cleveland Sports beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, coming up at 8 o'clock, as we do every single Tuesday. And, of course, it's a blind tier Tuesday. It's Get a Grip coming your way at 9. We're going to react to the Guardians. We're going to bring in Michael later on in the show for another edition of Change Your Mind. But right now, 216-474-0092. Did the Browns week one loss kill your hopes for a potential solid season from the Cleveland Browns? We're going to get to your calls as well. A legitimate recipe for success for the Browns to maybe win some games this year. All coming your way in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick, with the guys here until 11 on The Fan. And you can just chalk it up, and this season is all for naught. I just don't think it kills your hopes of anything. Like, at the end of the day, it's the National Football League, right? Like, we are still in the NFL. We talk about the beauty of this sport being that anything can happen on any given Sunday. And listen, it's a poor argument if that's your only argument to say that if this team's going to come back and, you know, you never know what's going to happen on Sunday. But I did see enough out of them to say, okay, there's something here. There's a little something to be excited for. And it certainly didn't kill my hopes. Again, I was inspired by the loss. As much as I was disappointed and angry and mad, and I was cursing Andre Schmidt up and down, left and right as I was sitting there on Sunday, and I'm watching the 4 o'clock set. I'm watching Steelers-Jets, and I'm watching Chris Boswell put through a 60-yarder, and he's making it look like it's a 36-yard field.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Gulp. Like, I have that, but as I take myself removed after Sunday, I wake up on Monday morning and I'm like, no, there was so much there. There was such a good product that if as long as you build on it and you don't regress from what you showed, there's a line to winning those games. There's a line to being competitive in a lot of games that you play. And even if the season turns out poorly, but you could play competitive football, it's an upgrade of last year. I know that's not what people want to hear. I know that's not our goal for the season. But it is an upgrade from last year. There are things to take away and be positive about for this team, both looking into the future years ahead and also looking at the right now. I feel better about this team following Sunday's loss than I did probably going into the game. Again, 216-474-0092. Did the Browns' week one loss kill your hopes for a solid season? Let's go out to the phones. Todd is in Ward 1. What's going on, Todd?
Not even close, Jay. Not even close. I thought they played adequate against mediocre play by the Bengals. And what I saw to be corrected can be corrected relatively easy by the Browns, not so much easily corrected by the Bengals. So I expect them to get the Bengals next go-round. And Detroit, Chicago, and Minnesota look very vulnerable to me. So do the Steelers.
Yeah, I was going to say, like the Steelers, sure, they went out there and scored 34. Like, Rodgers had a really nice day. Their star-studded defense also gave up 32 points to Justin Fields and the Jets.
And the Jets look pretty bad to me. They look pretty bad.
On paper, they're not supposed to be great, right? Like, Justin Fields is not supposed to be a world star quarterback. Like, I have faith in him, and I like him. Probably too much of that being a Buckeyes fan. But, like, they're not expected to be good. The depth on that offense isn't good. The defense is fine. They gave up 32 points to that team.
I already can easily imagine 6 wins. Sweep the Steelers, beat Chicago, Minnesota. Detroit does not look like Detroit from last year. The Bengals are going to probably get beat the second go-round. So I'm feeling at least 6 wins, which means I don't feel that bad about what I saw because it was adequate play against a mediocre team, and but not for a few things, which is the case in every football game,
right?
But not for a few things. But the kicker could be corrected. The kicks can be corrected. So I'm still feeling good for 9. Admit 6 minimal. 6 minimal. I'm still feeling good for 9 wins.
Yeah, and Todd, I appreciate
it. Wait a minute.
Yeah,
I should probably always say when I make that comment, I do not drink. I do not smoke. I am not under any prescribed medicine advisement, nor is anybody telling me that should be. I still think the Browns can win 6 to 9 games. Okay.
All right. We got the disclaimer out of the way, Todd. I appreciate the call.
All right, man. Later.
Listen, again, I don't think Todd's crazy. Like, I'm not projecting this team to win 9 games. I never have projected this team to win 9 games. I'm sitting right around the 7 mark. I think 6 is very realistic. I didn't walk away from that game being disappointed. Again, a lot of the things were fixable. And a lot of the things, the interceptions were, you can blame it on the receivers. You can blame it on not perfect balls from Joe Flacco. The 2 interceptions were fluky. Like, let's say what it is. Hey, they were fluky interceptions. Those are not balls that end up being interceptions on most days. Like, you just do not have guys diving to their side, trying to make a catch, and the ball gets flicked up into the air and is then intercepted. Like, that to play out twice in one game with 2 separate receivers, especially, not a common occurrence. It's not like Joe was putting the ball into harm's way. Joe protected the football. And if you're able to continue those drives, I don't know so much about the second one, but certainly the first one, it could be more points on the board for the Browns. The Browns set up Andre Schmidt to go hit a 36-yard field goal to put more points on the board. This is not a team that played as if they should have put 16 points out there. Now, I don't think the offense was worldly. I am not saying that they went out there and looked absolutely incredible. They had their flaws. They couldn't run the damn ball. That's the recipe, though. We talked about all offseason. Your recipe to success. The defense is elite. The defense on Sunday, I would say, looked elite. And then the offense needs to be fine. They need to be okay. They need to keep the defense off the field. They need to sustain long drives. And they need to get something that is productive out of this team. Right? And be able to put enough points on the board to support your defense. I mean, they were inches away from being able to do that. They were inches away from being able to take down the Bengals and play directly into that recipe that so many people understand is the key to success for the Browns. It is the path to victory for them every single week that they're out there. That's the way they win football games. They displayed that recipe for me. Again, 216-474-0092. John is in Berea. What's going on, John?
Hey, Jake. The problem about that game, why that bothered me so much, not only for the fans that had to go down there, the home opener, was the players. Wins are going to be at a premium this year. I mean, you're talking about six wins? That's not good. And to drop one like that, and the way that it was dropped, it upsets me for, like I said, not only the fans, but the pride of the players, the people that went out there, the people that all spent all that money that game. It does, yes. I mean, it's going to be a tough road that we're going to go through right now. And dropping a game like that in the fashion that we did, it hurts, and it hurts bad. And I hope it doesn't affect the team going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think even the team, and John, I appreciate the call. I think even the team walks away from that game. Like Joe Flacco spoke after the game, right? And no need to play it for you, but I can very quickly sum up what he said. He went out there and said, you know what? We looked like an inexperienced team there. Like, that's a game that we need to come out and win. We looked like an inexperienced team and we need to clean it up. I thought that was a very, you know, succinct way to put it. They did. They looked like, especially on the offensive side of the ball, they had not played together a ton, which they haven't, by the way. Joe Flacco has not run a ton with this first team. We've talked about that all camp long, is that he has not gotten a ton of reps. They are inexperienced. And even the team as a whole is a rather inexperienced team. They have a lot of young players who have not planned to play the roles that they're being asked to play right now. It's guys like Harold Fannin, guys like Dylan Sampson, even Jerome Ford is going off of what, 1 year of being a mostly starting back. You start to clean those things up as the year goes on. I was disappointed. I'm not saying I came away from this game with a big smile on my face and be like, I finally have something in the Browns. I was pissed for all of Sunday. I was so mad when I went to bed angry, right? It's not something that I like to do in my life, but I went to bed very angry because I was just like, that's a game you win. That is a game that it is right in your grasp. But I think those are the ones that, yes, they hurt more because obviously, as we look at it, wins and losses, which we have to every football season, that is the bottom line at the end of the day. That's a loss, and that's a loss that very easily could have been a win. So those ones hurt extra than, well, if they would have just went out there and looked like stank, and they would have just been terrible and lost by 21, and been like, well, the Bengals are better than you are. You know, the team's bad. We expect them to be bad. It's disappointing. It's angry that they didn't put out a good product. Like, that is the gut-wrenching loss. I just don't think you'd take a gut-wrenching loss and go, that's that, and I take nothing else away from it. I'm not encouraged by it in any way. Let's go to Dave in Cleveland. What's going on, Dave?
I don't know what there is to be excited about. I mean, it's the same old stuff, same old shots, same missed kicks, same interceptions. I don't care how they happen. It's the exact same thing, man. They look at experience. Well, whose fault is it that they look at experience? Whose fault is it that he didn't get any reps with the first team? So if you're going to blame it on the reps, then yeah, that's Kevin Stefanski's fault. You got to go.
I mean, I don't look at this as a Stefanski game. And Dave, I appreciate the call. Like, listen, the reps are what they are. I never agreed with them running a four-man quarterback competition. That's not going to prepare you for week one. I've been preaching that to the high heavens for what feels like 3 months. Is that, you're risking your week one opportunity because you want to try out four different quarterbacks, and you want to run Dylan with the ones, and you want to run Kenny with the ones, and you want to save Joe Flacco and make sure he doesn't go out there too much, and he's already going to be prepared. I'm preaching that to the high heavens. It's just like, again, I don't think it is same old interceptions. Like, interceptions are interceptions. I think a lot of football coaches and a lot of guys who play the game would tell you entirely differently that not all interceptions are created equal. It's a line by Kevin Stefanski over the weekend, and it's a line that he's thrown out many of times. It's true at the end of the day, right? Like, all interceptions are not created equally. Like, yes, Joe threw two picks. It was very evident of Joe Flacco. Like, if you go back and look at the last 2 years from Joe and you just look at the box score at the end of the day, you'd be like, yeah, Joe Flacco played like Joe Flacco. Threw two interceptions, had a touchdown. Maybe you'll expect more from him in the future, but looks like it. I didn't walk away from Joe being like, wow, that's the same guy I saw in 2023. It's a guy who puts the ball in harm's way and he gets punished for it. But you know what? He's also going to get rewarded. Joe wasn't taking the big shot plays. What he was known for and loved for in 2023, stretching the ball down the field, it was not a part of the game plan. It's not something that they even attempted to execute. It was very conservative. There's a reason when you look at the box score, you go, your leading receiver on the day in terms of receptions was Dylan Sampson? Yeah, because he was constantly hitting the check down. Who was the other guy that was at the top there? Oh, Harold Fannin? Yeah, because your tight end is a lot of times your safety blanket. He was going to the easy receiver in a lot of these cases. And by the way, making it look good. Like Joe still went out there and threw for almost 300 yards in that game. The offense was not some high firepower, but I don't think this is the same old that you've been watching. I sat down and right here in this building, watched every single Browns game that occurred last year, right? And I sat here for 10 hours a day and I stewed in it for 10 hours a day. I know what watching that team looked like last year. I remember the feeling of watching that team last year, as I'm sure all of you also do. Like, I feel like we need a refresher on what that looked like. This was not the same team that we saw on the field in 2024. The 2025 Browns are a different product if what they're showing in week one is reality. Again, I need a path, right? You have to show me a recipe, something in that realm of just, here's how we're going to get wins. Last year, there was no recipe. The defense was on the field too much. They didn't look great when they were out there. They were getting constantly burned on deep plays. They were getting gashed through the run. You stopped the run. You got after Joe Burrow. The defense looked elite. And the offense, they looked competent. They looked functional. Something that I can't say about last year's team. Like, I just think that's such a massive part of this, that if we just consistently look at it and continue to throw it away, and just be disappointed by the loss, you're missing the bigger picture that is the entirety of the season. Not asking you to be happy that the Browns lost. I'm not telling you not to be upset by the way that it went down. Believe me, if I go back and think about this game too much, my blood is going...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
To start to boil. But if you tell me there is nothing positive to take away from that and that all hope is lost, the way that Brent Sobleski wrote in Bleacher Report's article of the biggest winners and losers, I'm telling you, you're out of your mind. I don't know how you watch that game and feel like there's not something that's going to click there for the Browns. Again, 216-474-0092. Did the Browns week one loss kill your hopes for the chance at a solid season, or did they actually provide you a recipe that can be successful? I'm going full down the recipe route. All right, we'll slip in a couple of your guys' calls here. Come back on the other side as well. The most pressing thing said by our station's guest, the Station Buzz, coming your way in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Again, coming your way at 8 o'clock here on Overtime with Jake Volnick. We're going to get to the Station Buzz coming up in just a couple of minutes, but I told you guys if you want to chime in, 216-474-0092, whether or not you have lost all hope for the Browns season following Sunday or if there's something a little left in there. Let's go to Mike in North Royalton. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, good evening. I listen to you guys every night. Do a real nice job. Thank you.
I appreciate that a ton, Mike. What do you got, man?
I've been a Browns fan for many, many years. So my frustration is Jim Schwartz brings it every weekend, and the defense played lights out for whatever it was. The offense did as much as they possibly could. Special teams, again, let us down. And all we keep on hearing every weekend from last year and so far this weekend, that Kevin Stefanski is frustrated. We don't need him to be frustrated. We need him to fix it. Yeah, this should be the last year of Stefanski and the last year a Barry. Because yes, Sunday's game was so winnable.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it.
For the defense to hold Cincinnati to that minute, that few points in the second half, to outplay them in every area. And all you hear from the coach, well, we got to get better. We got to get better. We got to get better. Fans don't want to hear that crap. We're frustrated. We don't want to hear. You think he's frustrated? How do you like to be a fan and spend $100 and $200 for a ticket, $50 to park, $50 to $100 just to get drinks and food down there? You're dropping $300 to $400 to go see them play, and this is what you get. You're frustrated. There's something has to go. Something has to go.
And
I know this is a rebuilding year. I know we got a lot of rookies. I don't know what we're going to do in the quarterback situation. But for the most part, the Browns still had a chance to win that game. And when the games are winnable, we got to win them.
And hey, Mike, I can't disagree with you in the slightest, and I appreciate the call. Me and Michael were talking between the break, right? And, like, it comes down to a certain point where, like, you look at it, like, kickers miss kicks. Like, it happens. And it's not a defensive Andre Schmidt here, who we're going to talk about with Daryl, and we're going to talk about after Daryl as well. Because believe me, I was as frustrated as can be at the fact that they got a 26-year-old kicker. All I need you to do is hit an extra point and a chip shot. What is literally a chip shot field goal now today in the NFL. I know, you know, we rewind back probably a decade and a 36-yarder might not feel like a chip shot. It's a damn chip shot in the NFL right now. You don't miss those. You have to hit it. There's no excuse for him. There's no defense of Andre Schmidt here. But, like, kickers miss kicks. Kevin Stefanski's not going to go out there and sit with the kicker and be like, nope, try again. Like, try again. Like, at some point, you make them or you don't. Andre Schmidt did not make them. If you want to tell me you're calling for Andre Schmidt's job, I'll hear you out. I'll tell you if you don't think he's good enough. That's part of it. But, like, you just don't have the kicker there. Like, if you don't have the guy, I can't look at it and be like, well, that's a pure disappointment. You're going to need special teams to show up. You're going to have to find a way to make your kicker be consistent. Whether that's going to be Schmidt or it's going to be another guy, that is a key part to this season. It is a minor part to it, but it'll play major roles at different points in the year the way that it did on Sunday. I can't react in the same way and call for Andrew Berry's job, call for Kevin Stefanski's job, because I think as you look at it as a whole, I can ask my coach to go out there and set up a game plan that helps me win. I felt like Kevin did that, right? Like, I felt that Kevin went out there and kept the ball out of Joe Burrow's hands, relied on the defense, which, you know, Jim Schwartz, like you said, brings it every single week, brought it again in week one. But the offense did mostly what was their job outside of two fluky interceptions. Like, hey, listen, those can't happen either, but at some point you turn it to the guys who are on the field who are actually needing to execute the plays. The offense set up, Andre Schmidt did a 36-yard field goal. I don't care if you're some kid I pull off of College Game Day, you're Andre Schmidt or you're Harrison Butker or whoever else your favorite kicker in the NFL is, I expect you to nail the 36-yarder. There's not a single kicker out there in the NFL that I get nervous if they go out for a 36-yard field goal. Every single guy out there, I expect that to go through the uprights, no questions asked. So when it doesn't execute, I can't sit there and blame Stefanski. I can't even blame Barry to a degree. Like, bring in another kicker, not that many on the market, guys. And if there was ones that you felt comfortable nailing every single kick, I'd hope sure as hell they'd be signed somewhere. And those guys just don't sit out there and aren't available to you. You were hoping that was Dustin Hopkins. Wasn't the case. Yeah, I can't pin that on Barry, and I can't pin that on Stefanski. More on Barry, but I still don't think that's necessarily on him either. You brought in kicking competition for Dustin Hopkins. The kicker you brought in kicked better than Dustin Hopkins, and he went out there and got let down. Some things you just leave to the players to execute. When they don't do it, you pin it on them. I don't think you pin it on the coach. All right, without any further delay, let's get to the most pressing things said by our station's guest today. Let's do it with the station buzz. All right, as you can imagine, plenty more Browns to talk with you guys. And we'll start things right there. John Fanta of Fox Sports on today with Nick and JP on Afternoon Drive. And, well, you want to talk about a kicker? John Fanta was talking about a kicker, and he was more on the side of Mike than he's on my side. Let's listen to John.
If I'm going to pin the loss on anybody, it's the general manager who can't find a kicker. You know, it's his job to get personnel together, and his inability to find a functional kicker is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. and the guy shouldn't have a job today. You know, I don't know how you roll him back out there week two. You thought there were nerves week one. Wait till he comes out in Baltimore and tries to make a kick.
Like, again, I just don't know. I mean, Michael, we looked before the show. Who the best kicker that you thought was available that was open on the free agent market today? Who did you think it was?
Greg Joseph.
You feel confident in Greg Joseph making a kick? I don't feel confident in Greg Joseph making a kick. Like, who else? Austin Seibert?
Greg Joseph.
Yeah.
Wait, three. Jake, it was hilarious. Three of the kickers that are out there available that they said are, you know, proven they've kicked in the NFL. Greg Joseph, Austin Seibert, Cade York.
Seen all of those guys in a Browns uniform.
Actually, add Zane Gonzalez to make it four.
Seen all of them in a Browns uniform, and we hated all of them.
So the only other one out there that I even think I would consider if I was the Browns, maybe like Greg Zuerlein, because he's really done it, but he had a horrible year last year. He got cut by like two different teams.
I think Jake Moody probably falls into that same conversation, right? Just got cut from the 49ers. Had a bad year last year. Had a horrible Sunday where he went 1 for 3. I think also missed a 30 to 39 yarder in that spot.
He had one block, to be fair.
Okay. So went 1 for 3. They felt comfortable kicking it or kicking him off and get him off the ship, right? Like, they don't feel confident in him either. Like, the guys that you're picking up off the scrap heap, or if you're like, get rid of Andre, go get me somebody else. They're also guys who have been kicked to the curb. They're also guys who have gone through struggles. It's not like the greatest kickers in the world are just openly available to you. Again, you brought in competition for Dustin Hopkins. You're competition one. If you're Andrew Berry, I get it. You might have been going bad kicker against bad kicker. That's really all that's available to you. Hey, you're just cycling through bad kickers unless you're going to go draft one. You can make the argument. I mean, the rookie kicker sitting over for the Ravens was available in the sixth round. The Browns really wanted one. They could have went and got him. But, you know, they traded a fifth and a sixth round pick to go get Shador Sanders. Which guy would you rather have? Would you rather have a functional kicker or Shador Sanders? That's not a legitimate question. Don't call in with an answer for that. Let's keep moving. John Greco on today with Ken and Anthony in the morning, former Browns offensive lineman. And sticking with kicker, he said, would he get rid of him? Would he not?
You know, the Browns were, what, 5.5-point underdogs in this game. And look at all the positives that were, you know, surrounding this game. And for it to come down to a damn kick that we miss, it just sucks. So I get the emotions, but I don't want to get into a situation where everybody that makes a mistake, we're ready to move on from them, and there's the shortest of leashes. But I'm not ready to really, you know, send him out the pasture yet. But he's got to turn it around, and he's got to turn it around quick.
We're going to talk about this a little bit with Daryl, so I'm not going to go too heavy into this with you guys. But, I mean, I think John's got a really good point here. Like, if you're kicking a kicker to the curb week one, right, when it's the first NFL action that he's ever gotten, and you're like, let's just go to the next guy. Guys, that guy's going to miss kicks too. Like, at some point this season, he doesn't miss them. Hey, if you have a guy miss a kick every single week, are you telling me you just want to cycle through every available kicker that's available to you and just go, yeah, week three, here we go, kicker number three. Week 11, here comes kicker number 11. Come on down, Pat McAfee. You've got a contract with the Cleveland Browns. You'd never do that. And obviously, it was a punter. But, like, you can't do that. You have to have a little bit of a leash. You have to have a little bit of leeway, especially with the young players. It's the same way that I go, Mason Graham played an okay game, only had 3 tackles, didn't get a sack, not kicking him to the curb. Right? Guys got embarrassed. Dylan Sampson couldn't run the ball effectively. Jerome Ford couldn't run the ball effectively. Not kicking him out of the building today. Hey, they're still there. I'm still looking for improvement. Probably somewhere in that ballpark with Andre Schmidt, too. Lance Rice on Cleveland.com, also on with Nick and JP on Afternoon Drive today, talking about the way Joe Flacco performed.
I bet he played outstanding. You know Joe wants to stretch the field, right? That's what he does. That's what he's always done, letting cook. And I think he understands his ability to control that is how the Browns are going to win. And it's a fine line, though, because you're going to have to stretch some of these defenses vertically. But again, that goes back to the run game. So I thought he got rid of the ball very quick. I thought he did a great job of getting the ball out, throwing some really catchable balls. He does not get enough credit for me of throwing the ball to the receivers where they can run with it. Now, obviously, the throws on the interceptions, they weren't great. They could have been caught. Those are more fluky things. But I will tell you this. Those type of plays, if you're playing at a high level, those usually balance themselves out throughout a game. The Browns are at such a fine margin of what they can do right or wrong that it kind of sticks out.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, obviously 2 interceptions stick out, missed kicks stick out. I know that's what Lance was talking about there on the kicks. But, like, yeah, it's going to be just amplified when you're in these ultra-close games where there's not a ton of points to go around. I agree with Lance, though. I think Joe looked really good. Yeah, I don't think he looked world-class, but I thought he looked really good. He was throwing guys open. He was throwing correct decisions. Now, Joe's going to have to not be the game manager quarterback. He's going to have to extend the field. But I think what Lance really hit on that I agree with you have to do it correctly and you have to do it intelligently, right? You have to eliminate the 50-50 balls that you're throwing to the receivers, and you have to pick your spots where guys are open. But I can tell you, going back and watching the game, you probably missed a couple of guys that, you know, had a chance downfield. Did he then make decisions that kept the ball out of harm's way and helped the offense extend drives? He did. I think that's one something that comes with a little bit of time with this offense that you have to let Joe just get a little comfortable into, where he's going to start to take those shots, and it'll determine, is he leaving it up to this can't happen, he's taking too many risks, or is he making the correct decision? But if you wanted a guy to go out there and be safe, I thought Joe did that. I thought Joe did just about everything he needed to on Sunday to try to orchestrate a win. He unfortunately just didn't come away with it, but I'm not blaming that on Joe. Slip one in real quick here. Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com, on with Baskin and Phelps on how she was impressed by the defense.
I thought they were absolutely dominant in that second half and really dominant after that first drive, which the Bengals caught them off guard with and neutralized Myles Garrett by running the ball so much. So that was a smart strategy, but obviously it didn't hold up for the Bengals, and the Browns came through. They took over, and to do what they did in the second half, allowing only 7 total yards, minus 18 in the fourth quarter, 3 points, 1 first down. You can't really ask for anything more than that, except to get a takeaway. That is the area that they weren't able to do exactly what they wanted to do and that they set out to do this season, and that is to take the ball away. So that's one place where they could have come through.
Yeah, and I think that's about the only negative you can pin. Like, you didn't get a takeaway if you were the Browns. You recorded 3 sacks in 1 drive on Joe Burrow. That's about as good as a takeaway, right? Like, you're basically getting an arm punt out of Joe Burrow. You back him up 25 yards and then go, okay, now punt it. Okay, that's the same thing as a interception 25 yards down the field. Congratulations. You did enough for me. Like, I thought it was going to be very difficult for the defense to impress me in any way. They came out and exceeded my expectations and truthfully did impress me in the way that they played. They looked elite. Obviously, we'll see how it plays out. It's 1 week. They looked elite. All right, that'll do it for the Station Buzz. When we come on back here in 5 minutes, our very own Cleveland Sports Beat reporter Daryl Ryder gives us a lowdown on everything he saw on Sunday right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.